Welcome back, beautiful people, patriots across this incredible nation, those that would hold the flame of liberty in their hands, ready to pass it on to the next generation. This is Positively American, the podcast where we not only talk about the politics and the news and the goings-on of the day, but also how we're going to drive our rights to the next generation, because action is incredibly important when it's partnered with the emotion. Emotion by itself, you are no better than the left, but we're better than that. That's what this is all about. Today, we have got some bangers. We are going to go through Iran bombing Israel, basically saying, Biden, you're a toothless tiger, and then the problems that it represents for Biden back here at home in an election year. That's going to be a really fun one. Then we're going to go into the big Biden pushes, the big grand plan by the Democrats to just buy everyone's votes with all the little leftist wet dream, little nuggets of goodness in order to distract away from their failures. And even MSNBC is starting to show cracks on how the voters are not necessarily in line with the propaganda. This is going to be a show you're going to love from top to bottom. Let's kick it to the intro, and then we are going to disperse some freedom. Beautiful people, listen, we have got some freedom to distribute. As I mentioned in that introduction, we are going to go into this so fast, so furious. Little plug for my gun people there, because they know that's an ATF joke. But now for a little bit more about me, so you guys know who we're dealing with here on the other side of this microphone. My name is Braden Langley. I run a channel on YouTube called Langley Outdoors Academy. We focus on gun rights versus gun control. We have over 530,000 subscribers over there and over 150 million views. And it's all coming down to a simple principle. Why? Why do they do what they do? Why do we do what we do? And how are we going to fight them back and pass our generation, our generational benefits to the next generation, the freedoms of which we enjoy? Very simple principle. It's not about us. And that's a big key differentiator. But let's talk about something that I'm noticing in popular culture. It's not happening across the board. It's not like everyone's waking up instantly, but people are starting to notice discomfort. And that's what I want to talk about today. And all the clips and segments I'm about to show you are built mostly around the discomfort that people are noticing. And there's something underlying in the entire theme that I'm about to show you that's popping up again and again and again when you dive down and drill down deeper than just the top-level surface observations. But make sure you understand, when people start to feel discomfort, that is the first sign where they start looking for a reason why. A good idea of this, or example of this rather, would be when people say that others are asleep. They don't know that they're sleepwalking towards tyranny, that the left is guaranteeing and promising as they have everywhere on the entire face of the planet. They don't understand that they are because they don't feel discomfort. There's no reason to look for a problem because there's no problem. There's no reason to look for a solution because there's no problem. Let's just keep on going about doing whatever we do until discomfort comes around. And there's a few different areas. You can find your own discomfort level. You could say it's economic. You could say it's inflation. You could say it's border, abortion, gun control, Trump, not Trump, Biden, not Biden. But the bottom line of what we're starting to see creep to the surface is human behavior starting to notice something's wrong. Now, most of you listening to this podcast probably know something's wrong. But the people in the middle and the next generations, they don't see it as quickly. But they're starting to. And that's the whole point. When the Democrats start to lose the power of perception across all voters and people start observing things and the rhetoric is not matching up with their personal experiences, you're going to see a very large problem. There's going to be a discrepancy which the Democrats can't overcome. Probably has something to do with Biden's polling numbers right now, because he's sitting here promising you everything is good. It's all rainbows, sherbets, and lollipops. And it don't feel like that. So either you're lying to me or there's something wrong with me. Well, when you get 300 million people feeling not so great about something, it's kind of hard to convince them it's 300 million people, not you. But this is where they've left open a very big gap Because again, this is all around the why, right? You have to look for a why if there's something wrong. You have to seek out a solution if there's a problem. And the biggest thing the Democrats try to do is try to tell you there's no problems, everything's good because we're in power. But this is where the opening comes in. Draw comparisons to exactly the way their lives were before Biden and after Biden. It is that simple. Hey, how was inflation? Ugh. Hey, how's the border? Ugh. How's the economy? Oof. How's rent? Ah. How's grocery prices? Ooh, about that. How's gas? Medium. Wow, it must be because they're artificially deflating the price through dumping all the strategic oil reserves on the market. But anyway, another thing for another time. But this is where you start to see something, and this kind of buttresses my point of what I'm trying to bring forward here. The Democrats are reacting to the observations. Just look at Biden's actions in the last 2 weeks. Let's just go over at a high level. New gun control executive orders, student debt executive orders, rebranding Easter as Transgender Awareness Day, even though he forgot it. I'm not going to let him forget it, but he forgot it. How about those three? How about federalizing protections for federal bureaucracy workers? Just so happens that all of these groups that we're talking about, all of these executive orders and all of these announcements that the White House is making benefit the Democrat side of the ticket. Isn't that weird? Even though the student debt relief program that he just put forward was already struck down by the Supreme Court, but they just decided to do it again, and it happens to launch in November. So weird. What else happens in November? I know a lot of you guys are thinking Ramadan, but that's not what I was referring to. The election's happening in November. It's weird how all of these things align, because they're trying to distract everyone away from their failures and inadequacies. That's exactly what's happening. You look across our entire spectrum of our country, and you cannot point to a single thing that Biden has made better. It's that simple. He either infringes on rights over here, or infringes on rights on the other side, or he just ad hoc decides that no one pays back student loans anymore, and oh, are those gun rights? Well, we're going to abolish those too. Hey, is that the rent you need to pay, and the landowners need to get paid for their asset? Oh no, see, the CDC can take care of that. It's all done through executive bureaucracies. It's completely bypassing Congress because his policies are not popular enough to pass a Congress. It's very simple. Draw the contrast. But the big thing that I want to kind of wrap this monologue up with, this is what they're going to do next. Mark my words, they're going to do this because I know these people. They're going to divide. They're going to invade. They're going to distract. They're going to bomb. They're going to infringe. Whatever they need to do, using the tools of leftist destruction, fear, disdain, sanctioned hatred, anger, cancellation, division, they don't use hope, encouragement, courage, exceptionalism at all. They're going to use all of these negative things to try to build their individual coalition pieces, as they like to say, towards a victory to maintain their own power by just completely trampling on the Constitution. Nothing positive, only negative, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. It is genuinely that direct. You cannot unsee the ugliness of this after you've observed it. But now let's get into what's going on with Iran, because this poses a bit of a pickle for Biden. Because the Bidentron out there, the robot with someone in the administration's hand flat up his butt making him talk like a ventriloquist, because we know he can't do it by himself. They've got a bit of an issue around Israel and Hamas. Now, this is so fascinating to me because October 7th rolled around and Hamas flat out attacked Israel, took hostages, killed scores and scores of people. And the Democrats, all of a sudden, magically, within the next few days, had members of their party in the House, like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, calling for a ceasefire. It's not fair. Israel is so much bigger and stronger. They shouldn't be attacking them back. Because they have a constituency that's splitting in their party. Even a dog attacks when it's attacked. a cat, when it's backed into a corner, you're going to get scratched. It's not a good idea to do it. But what's Iran doing right now? Iran is actively bombing Israel as a state. They are declaring war on Israel. Well, that's a bit of an issue, since Israel is an ally of the United States, and Biden can't abandon Israel, even though he's been trying to put out this vibe that he's the ultimate tough guy, told Netanyahu to stand down, which he promptly didn't do. And then on the other side, you've got the Hamas part of their coalition that is heavily made up of Arab Americans, or those that would be sympathetic to Arab Americans or sympathetic to the Arab cause in the Hamas region of political sphere. And they don't want them to do it either. So the Democratic Party not only has a constituency coalition problem, they also have a Democratic representative problem. Now, they're both kind of linked because of the constituencies of those individual areas. But Biden's in a real bad pickle. Because one thing you sure as heck don't want in the middle of an election year, you definitely don't want to have to pick between one part of your coalition and another when your entire point to power is, ooh, look at the coalition we've built, which the left has been obsessing over, the coalition of the oppressed and the victims in order to give themselves power, which they never help. They just continue to utilize for a vote. But other than that. So now Iran is just flat out attacking Israel. It's almost like that's a direct hit on Biden's credibility after he said, hey, Iran, you might not want to do that. Yeah, Iran did it anyway. And then they went a little bit further. And, this is also interesting. Went a little bit further and said, we might hit U.S. bases, too, if you guys try to protect Israel. Really? So you're going to declare war on the United States and Israel, and you have Russia's backing. Okay, well, let's put a pause on that. That's where we stand right this second, as of the filming on April 15th at 2:20 p.m. Central Time. So your big move here is you got a state sponsor of terrorism standing up for Hamas and attacking Israel, and the United States has multiple carrier groups in the area. And they've spent all this time since October, Iran that is, since October 7th, solidifying relations and support channels through places like Russia. This is starting to sound like a little bit more broad-based regional conflict, doesn't it? Doesn't really seem like it's Hamas versus Israel anymore. It sounds kind of like you've got two major states about to go at it, both of them with support from different larger proxy states. This got Vietnam vibes to it, to anybody else? World War III, maybe? What about a little Cold War? These are all not great things to be happening under Biden's watch, because we were told that we just needed sensible solutions, and the world would respect us more if the big orange man bad was out of power. But now everything is turned to crap domestically. Everything at home is horrible. It's more expensive. It's just absolutely gross the way things are happening for people who are coming up out of college, out of high school, and getting into the workforce and realizing that the American dream is now too expensive for them. And now you got World War III on the horizon. Things are going great, guys. Really impressive what you've been able to do in 3.5 years. Love what you've done with the place. But then you go back to what's happening again with the Iran situation and threatening the U.S. states, or not states, U.S. Bases. Hey, here's a hypothetical for you guys, because you guys are awesome. And I'm sure I can almost hear you guys screaming through the microphone right back at me. What do you think would have happened if this exact same scenario were to occur under Trump? I'm just going to leave a pregnant pause there for a second, because I think it would be something like this. You will not do that, and if you do, you will have some of the best glass in the world. Everyone will look at Iran and they say, oh, it was such a beautiful country, but now it's just glass. But we're going to export that glass because it is the best American made, after all. Probably something like that. But again, that didn't happen under Trump's watch. The invasion of Ukraine didn't happen under Trump's watch. Israel getting smoked by Hamas didn't happen. Iran jumping in and basically telling Biden, go pound sand, you old feeble man. How does this look good for Biden at all? And he's also got the coalition parts in his Democratic Party here in the United States being pissed and divided on it. Well, this is awkward. And then the final little cherry on top on this one, on Biden's excellence, is now, goodness gracious, this is just so insane. Now, we have a situation where the Democrats have been pushing for Ukrainian funding to beat back the specter that is Putin, because Putin is all that is evil, and Russia is all that is evil, and we're going to get him, and we need to get him. And if we don't get him, Ukraine's going to go away forever the way the dodo bird. Then you got Iran down here a couple months later poking at Israel, threatening the United States. Do you think the Democrat Party is going to be the same pound your chest war party that they are against Iran? That they are for Russia against Iran? Pretty soon, this is going to become, wow, the Democrats just start World Wars. That's just what they do. World War I, Woodrow Wilson. World War II, FDR. World War III, Biden. Well, this is uncomfortable. Vietnam, Democrat, Lyndon B. Johnson heavily involved. How many more of these do you need? It's almost insane. And then you have the also kind of fun little thing to watch about the non-committed votes happening in Michigan and Wisconsin around the Democratic Party. People are revolting openly. Rashida Tlaib is actively telling Democrat voters, don't vote for Democrats. Yeah. Get your popcorn, because the next 6 months are going to be a thing. Going to be honest. But that brings us to our next point. With all of those things going on so poorly, and that's just around Iran, I want you to think about what they're doing. What are the actions they've taken? Debt relief for all students. Anybody who's taken on debt. Yeah, I know you agreed to that, and I know you're benefiting from the actual degree itself, but that debt that you agreed and signed to was just too crushing. So the federal taxpayers are going to take care of that. Gun show loophole. Little hat tip to my gun supporters out there. People who've been with me for years now. They openly just changed definitions. Who's a dealer? Who's not allowed to be a dealer? What's the definition of a dealer? And then shortly after that, they changed the ability for dealers to do any kind of transaction outside of an FFL. Oh, by the way, funny little fun fact. I didn't mention any dealer that they refer to is a redefined redefined term, which is individuals. Federal workers can't be fired anymore. Easter's Transgender Day or Transgender Awareness Day or whatever. All of these things are red meat handed directly to the Democrat base and the leftist base to try to rebuild the coalition that they're telling us that's so strong nothing can penetrate it, while at the same time trying to bolster it because it's so weak. But, you know, DeSantis said something about this on Friday. Let me play this clip for you and tell me if this doesn't hit right on the head. And write down in the comments, reviews, stars, shares, all the things. Let's get DeSantis.
That's unilateral. He does not have authority to do this. So, and the same thing with the student loan bailout. You know, I think the colleges should be responsible to back the student loans because they've really benefited with these kids going into debt. So I'm not unsympathetic to it, but I'm not supportive of telling a truck driver he's got to pay the student loan for someone that got a degree in gender studies. That is not right.
He's right. It's not right. DeSantis has the ability to connect with everyday situations and everyday outcomes and translate them in a way that people understand them. It's communication. He's very good at it. But on a base, simple level, it's not right. Why would someone who decided not to go to college and took the risk to go out on their own and be on the road in a truck or be an entrepreneur, why should they, the ones who are successful and working really, really hard to do it, in light of everything that everyone tells them they have to go to college, now they make it And they have to turn around and support the people who went to college and signed a debt load that was too big for them with a... They basically bought the lie that college is going to prepare you for a high-paying degree when the jobs that are waiting on the outside are paying you about $40,000 to $50,000 a year and you have $100,000 to $200,000 in debt to start out life? Is that fair? No, it's not fair. Of course it's not fair. Everyone knows it's not fair. A child knows it's not fair. But it's not about being fair. It's about buying votes through your executive agencies in order to solidify your own power at the cost of the United States. That's where this gets so twisted. But as I said in the introduction, people are noticing. For example, let's go to a kid. This is a Gen Z, and I can say kid because I'm 37. I've earned that right now. This is a Gen Zer who is having a job and experiencing something that's not what they were promised. Check this out.
Somebody explained to me in crayon eating terms why I make over 3 times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live. And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys. A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the can afford that? It is embarrassing to come out and say that it is a struggle to survive right now. But I know so many people are struggling.
So many people are struggling. But did you hear something that he just said that was so key? It's embarrassing to admit it. Yes, you're starting to feel it. You're starting to realize that the promises that the left has made are empty. They turn to dust in your mouth. They look like an amazing cupcake, but then it's the driest thing that you can imagine. It's like a cupcake full of cinnamon. No moisture, gone. The promises are empty promises, and people are starting to notice. It's embarrassing that I can't afford to live. Now, that's a very big observation, and that's a big part of this whole podcast episode. They're starting to feel it. Crime. People bought more guns than they've ever bought before. Jobs. Economy. Inflation. Grocery prices. It's all related to the spending policies of the left, where there is no finite amount of money because modern monetary theory allows you to print as much as you want because it's a variable commodity. And all you do is just raise interest rates and then bring some of it back in and then you print some more and you let it out and you let it in. It's just like a giant that is breathing. But the problem is, if you spend too much and your interest rates aren't enough to compensate for the spending, you have one heck of a problem. Because I don't know if you've noticed, inflation is going back up. And what that individual was just describing are the pains of inflation. Money does not go as far anymore as it used to. So therefore, the things that you are used to accomplishing, cannot be done the exact same way. Now, I do have something that this kid's got wrong, but we'll get to that in a second. If you have a one-bedroom apartment at $1,800 or a two-bedroom apartment at $2,200, yeah, it's a lot more than it used to because the inflation has caused it to do so. Your money is not going as far. Therefore, you either have to not live in that apartment or you have to make more money. Either more is coming in or less is going out. It is very, very simple. But that makes a conversation piece around what do I have to do, and that's not my fault, and that's uncomfortable, that's inconvenient. So I'm going to scream at my phone. Because it's someone else's fault, right? And here's where we get into the next piece. This is where this kid doesn't have it right. And I don't blame him all the way because, I'll be honest with you, at the young age of 20s, coming out of college, you don't have a lot of stuff figured out. So I'll give him a little bit of grace on this one. But the idea that I want to work my 40-hour job per week, I want to have a good paycheck, and I want to have an amazing house, and I want to have an amazing apartment, I want to have a great car, everything that I want, when I want to have it, money is no object. But I want to make sure I have my weekends, and I don't want to get up too early, and I don't want to live too far from the city where I have to drive a little more and wake up even earlier because that would be inconvenient. And I don't want to pull myself up from my bootstraps because that's not the point. The point is to thrive. The point is not to enjoy life, particularly in your grinding years of your 20s. I can't tell you how many days I spent personally 12-hour plus from the time that I was 23 years old to the time that I was 32, 33. And the big irony is once my YouTube channel became my my main job, I still worked 12 and 13 hours because it turns out I just liked it. But this kid that's in question here doesn't understand the basic principles of you've got to grind and you have to you've got to really hustle. And the blessing of the United States and America, the opportunities and the freedoms that we are given, is not a guaranteed outcome. This is where it gets really hard for the young, and it gets really hard for the leftist-leaning individuals. It's not about a guaranteed outcome. The American dream is not, I guarantee you're going to have this. The American dream is, I'm going to provide you a flat, level, equal playing field where you can work as hard as you want to achieve whatever you want. There's a fine difference. The promise of the American dream is that we have safe borders. We have no armies coming at us. We are allowed and we get the privilege of living through our lives in order to find the way that we make it in the world, in our country, to the level that we desire or don't desire. Many other countries don't even have that opportunity because they don't have safe and protected borders. They don't have a centralized police force. They don't have a low crime rate respective of the entire planet. Now, ours is spiking like crazy right now because the left is going on this insane tirade of letting everyone out. That's another thing I've got packed in here somewhere. I don't know if I can get it to this episode. But our cops are dying at the hands of these people. Our people are suffering. Gun buying is going up through the roof, and the left can't even figure out why crime's going down, but the gun purchases are going up. It's a whole thing. But the point is, the promise of America is a starting safe playing field where you're going to have a chance. Now, I said safe. That does not mean you're guaranteed safety. That is not a guaranteed right. It is a protected area within a border where you can make what you want. You can live where you want. You don't need papers to go to state. All you have to do is get up and move. You are limited only by your own ambition. That's what he does not understand in this clip. He will figure it out one day, maybe. But the ones who make it are the ones who figure that out through the trials he's going through. So I hope he makes it, but we'll see. But now I want to play something that I think is so powerful from MSNBC a couple days ago. Mika Brzezinski, who is very Democrat, very left, very feminist, very anti-Trump, everything that you'd want from an MSNBC host. But she runs across this focus panel, and I'm going to play you two clips from this focus panel, and I think that this is really important when you dive down and drill down to the underlying causes of what they're talking about versus just the high-level words they're using, because words are incredibly important. But understand the why, and you'll get to where they are. Check this out. It's the first clip.
How they think President Biden is doing on the economy. Take a listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right, so that is everybody.
Everybody, MSNBC host says. This is uncomfortable. So Biden's disaster for the economy, and all those who are in favor of Trump's policies for the economy, raise your hand. Okay, everybody, including Democratic voters in a swing state of Pennsylvania. So I didn't tell you that part. Understand, there is a perception issue that the Democrats are struggling with. It is not anything about, oh, Trump's a meanie pants, and that's just Republican talking points, and they're better at marketing than we are, because that is an abject lie. The group that is the worst at marketing across the planet is the Republican Party. Let's just call it what it is. They are not good at it. However, there's still a perception that exists. It's because the everyday person has an observation and a feeling, and to a certain degree, they are placing blame on where it is. Now, these people on this focus group are actually putting it where it should be. It is directly on Democratic policies, particularly around inflation, money printing, insane amounts of spending, lots of entitlements, and a completely lawless society with no border to speak of. Was that enough? But I mean, understand this is in a swing state. But this next part was the part that I'm really referring to here. It's the second clip of the same thing. And one of the women says something, and see if you can pick it up while it's playing, and then we're going to break it down, because this is a really important part.
The prices are so high right now. It's just hard.
Is there anything Joe Biden could do or say between now and the time you vote that would make you feel differently about feeling that his policies would not be as good for your family on the economy? Or have you pretty much decided that Trump's policies would be better for the economy?
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability. Like, he's in denial that it's happening.
Did you catch the most important part about that? And this speaks to a lot of the things that are going on across our nation right now. The psyche of America is realizing something. I started this podcast because I understand from my observation in my past with what's going on in the gun world and looking at the people and looking at the consumers of that content, looking at the two-way advocates, looking at everything, there is a massive hunger that's brewing in the general population around this one topic. Accountability. In denial. Understand how important that is. Now translate that out a little bit more deeply across other ideas. Crime. Democrats say there is no crime. How is there no crime if everyone feels like it's a big issue and there's lots of crime? And then 10 weeks later, it's all of a sudden, look at all the crime that we dispelled. The crime rate's going down. Look how amazing we are. We got rid of the crime. I thought you said the crime didn't exist. Well, it didn't then, but now it doesn't now. And then we can say it doesn't. It's just the big game. Shell game. And it's all about accountability. That's exactly what it is. And then you've got the other piece of denial. Now, from a standpoint of the economy, they shredded him on this economy part. Because everyone feels it. The kid that I played earlier is struggling and I can't figure out why. I've lost count of how many Gen Z 20-somethings I've seen on multiple platforms do the exact same thing. They don't understand why it's happening. They don't understand who's to blame yet, but they sure as heck understand what's wrong and how they don't like it. That's the beginning. Now tie in the denial piece. Biden's an empty suit. It has nothing to do with him being in denial or him not having awareness or him not having accountability. He doesn't have a cognitive thought. He's gone. However, the leftists that he has appointed and the leftists that are driving this entire spectrum, this is all going towards a designed outcome of creating the haves and the have-nots in order to rise up against the capitalist system, which is perceived as wrong and offensive to anyone else on the planet, and now we've got to get rid of it. This is a leftist plan. Now, the really amazing news is this comes out through denial. If you go into a denial or an accountability side of this, the Democrats lose forever. And by forever, I mean like across the ballot, House, Senate, presidency in November. And probably for a little while longer too, because this is some pretty bad stuff right now that we're in. But if it goes the way of disdain and sanctioned hatred and division, that's going to be a problem. Because then you're pitting groups of people against each other. The good thing about this clip is everyone was in agreement in a swing state that accountability and denial were good extrapolations of Biden's America right now and his idea of the economy. It's a big deal to either be not willing to accept something and not be accountable for it, people don't like that stuff, particularly when it affects their children and their parents and their own houses and their own lives and their own values. People can't sell their homes. They can't buy other homes. Interest rates are too high to combat all of the spending the Democrats have done. It's very simple. But then they go back to, oh my God, no, no, I know that's insane, but we bailed all these people out, so we should get their vote. Yeah, hey, numbnuts. By doing that, you just counteracted any inflation, or excuse me, any interest rates that would kill inflation because you just added to more spending. But it's not about the long-term outcome. It's about the short-term outcome to get them reelected to achieve the goals they want to achieve. And that's what I've got for you guys. Let me know what you think in the comments field right down there. Please rate it. Please send it. And I will see you on the next one. Thank you so much for watching or listening.